be a possibility, but again, we don't want to discount anything out of hemp until we've been able to go through and look at it. And again, one of the things we're working on with Quantity Construction is to develop that level of analysis that would allow us to really explain, describe, and justify those decisions prior to moving forward.
Yes, Mr. Guerra.
Sticking to that subject, in reference to work copies that you said, and speaking of, you know, what's going to be permanent and so forth, who's going to determine this? I know that going back to a lot of districts during the previous session, we were talking about this, that it's not just this district that put that on for payments on a lot of these buildings, right? Are you account for that? When you do the planning that you're going to, okay, this building's good enough, but we're going to put in more money in the deferred maintenance than others? And how are you going to determine that? I mean, do you have a special subcommittee, a group, or are you just going to get a win? You're saying we're going to do it, but it seems like your staff is going to go around with it. So is there going to be, I see your plan and your faith is good, it's more than we've ever got. But I'm just curious as to how you're going to attack this jackpot that you spend too much.
So we've been working internally, and when I say we, so let me describe this as a we. So it's planning and construction, it's the project managers along with the director, along with the architect. It's our maintenance department, because sometimes, again, that's where deferred maintenance resides, as well as regular and routine maintenance. It's also our IT department, because there's a technology component to this work that we're talking about. So when I say we, it's multiple departments, but I just thought of identifying many of the departments. As we move forward, again, at this point, we're in the process of identifying need, current need. Moving forward, we'll need to develop a mechanism, that's, I think, to your question, whether it's necessarily a rubric or a checklist that will work with our staff, again, those three departments, as well as with our instructional departments, to identify what are the areas that we need to develop and how will we do the assessment in terms of space, need of space, or whatever.
So just to follow up, what I'm finally curious, one of the attendance that you previously stated is we might miss something with the needy schools that are really out there. The other schools that have large attendance that's going to get more than others. You know, it's a tough one, crap, I understand that. But as a, you know, part of the taxpayer and part of the kids going to school and everything, I really want to make sure that we capture everything. Not just pick and choose, like, oh, this looks good, or that looks good. I mean, we were here last year. We probably said that this is AW. You know, we heard this whole great plan, we're going to do all this last year, and we just spent a ton of money for nothing. We're starting from scratch again, but I only get that one fuzzy feeling that we're actually going to move forward this time. And seriously, you look at Pop Hope on it. And, you know, you're talking about Mount Rue and the CFDs around the East of Data 5. And that's what compensates for some, but I mean, they're talking about increasing taxes, and the taxes that have been increasing, that the district will get more money, so the general fund should be increasing as well. So don't forget about deferred maintenance, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes, Mr. Williams.
Yes, I just want to throw out some ideas in my own mind, but I think the functionality, I know that a lot of the schools are like cookie cutters. One school is almost a carbon copy of another school. And I'm thinking to myself out loud, if we have science labs or science classrooms, and we have maybe four or five different schools, that we take one school site, do what we need to do, and then phase it so that we have the other school site a slight delay, so that what we learn from the first site, we can save money and efficiencies on the second side, and the third, the fourth. And by doing that, the standard starts, we might develop an efficiency in the contractors. And at the same time, we can have current developments, let's say, for our drama classrooms or some other classrooms, the same way, have one at the other school at the end of the line for the science. Just develop an efficient plan and save money more. I'm just throwing out ideas.
Just some observations. There was a editorial in the UT on the 30th of November that talked about generally the schools not maintaining their facilities. They're given a pass on the state rated budgets and balance their budget on the backs of the city. So the school district. But we're asking the taxpayers to put up a fair amount of money that they may be unsure once they build that new for you, the removal of the system, building of that building, are you going to not maintain it? And that's going to go to any enthusiasm to give you any more money for it. Secondly, we can look back from BB and see, are we getting any benefit? And the mission of the school district is to educate the kids. And whether sports or drama or band or any number of these things that enrich their lives, but is it give them the basis in the reading, writing, and arithmetic? But if that's the core mission of any school district, if this school district, then does it make sense for us to spend $3 million on a new football field when 30 or 40% of our classrooms do not have air conditioning? And that's something that's going to come up and bite us. And we should be able to look back and say, okay, we spent X dollars at this particular campus 4 years ago. Have our test scores increased? Are we getting anything for this? A shiny building, what is it doing to increase the ability of the kids to come out with a greater learning? Separate that from health and safety issues, and then we look at, does it make sense then maybe to bring in some portables, use them like a big pen, and you can order these things off site and faster, set them up for labs and for others, especially your core buildings, and then they can expand and contract as your tenants move around, and you don't get a whole lot of money invested into singular classrooms. So I think we look at it differently. I think we have to be able to look the taxpayer in the eye and say we are getting value for our money, not just that it costs us X dollars for this campus to build it, but are we actually getting a return on it? Are the kids learning more? We expect them to be safe, but are they learning more? If the answer to that is no, then we have to look at what we're spending our money on. And if a third of the performance of any student is based on the parent's participation in that student's learning, then maybe we're better off spending that money on educating the parents of how important education is to access the American dream. We're not going to get into that bonding, but I'm just saying that we have to look at what we're delivering and how we're going to deliver it. And assure them that once you give us that shiny new spark to build it, that we're going to maintain it and we're going to keep it up. We're not going to let the roof go until it starts to leak. And then claim that we have an emergency and we don't have any money. And that's kind of been how not just school districts but cities have treated their facilities over the last 50 years. Thank you.